everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books, today one specific book, to get to its hearts with your hosts, me, Ariel, and
Raylene.
It's true. We're here.
It's still
and
us.
We're talking. It's still us. And today we're talking about The Night Circus. So don't click off yet if you haven't read The Night Circus or you're like, ugh, it's a book club episode. Bear with us for 1 second. So before we jump into it and stuff, I did just want to do a little special shout out to our patrons and thank everyone so much for supporting our Patreon for however long you've been supporting it. As you may have noticed, Raylene and I don't do ads on the podcast. The only thing we advertise is our Patreon or like our own merch, mm-hmm. our cool projects that we're trying to do. And so we're super grateful for everyone that's over there. And as kind of a special bonus, while we were together at Raylene's house, we filmed two extra videos for the Patreon. So mm-hmm. one of them is up now and it's a reading vlog. I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Like a buddy read, reading vlog, puzzle extravaganza. There was drama, there was love, there was hate. There is a lot going on in that video.
There's a lot of intrigue, mysteries that still haven't been solved. So it was a lot of fun to film, and it was kind of a silly day where we filmed that. But then we also filmed a Q&A, which is going to come out in a few weeks. I don't know when the hell this is coming out, but
it's coming out sometime soon.
It'll be out in the next few weeks. So if you're kind of like, you know, I do like that podcast, I will throw those ladies $5. There's some fun videos waiting for you. So, I was like, I think that's everything. So we can start talking about The Night Circus. If you haven't heard one of our book club episodes before, we do, it's very much an episode of three parts. Part one is this intro. It's the worst part, for sure. Part two is me and Raylene talking about our general feelings with no spoilers so that anybody that hasn't read the book can get our thoughts. And then part three, the best part, is we listen to voice clips that are sent in from other listeners that mm-hmm. have also read the book and have a question or a feeling or whatever, something that they wanted to share with us, a thought, and we respond to them. So I really like the way that we do these book club episodes. And this one's special because I guess I don't know which one it is. It's like the seventh book club we've done or something like that. But it's the first reread, right?
I think you're right.
I think it's the first reread. And so I kind of found that was interesting. I always start these podcast episodes out by saying, Raylene, what do you think about the book? And I kind of know what you already think about the book because we read it sort of at a similar time 10 years ago. Yeah. So I will slightly adapt my question to Raylene. How did you feel about your reread of this book?
Well, I listened to it on audiobook this time around, just for convenience. It's what I had to do. And so it was a different experience for sure. I don't know if I would say it's better or worse on audio, but that's the way I absorbed it this time. So yeah. that was the first thing that was kind of different. And I was kind of trying to listen to it quickly, I think. The first time I read it, I think I read it over like 2 weeks and really just absorbed it. This time around, I agree that the atmosphere is still very much like the big thing about this book, where like you just kind of feel like you're at this whimsical, beautiful place. And like the circus is so strange and the way it kind of works and its magic is very interesting. Like I like all of that kind of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But I found the plot to be a little lacking this time around.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting.
I wasn't as into the plot as I was the first time I read it. Okay. And I don't know if that's just because I've already read it, or if it's because I'm older. I don't know. So
reason I just thought you were going to say because I'm old. Because I'm old. Just old. We're just old now.
I'm old now. The Night Circus no longer has the same magic.
Once you've seen the real world, you can't fall into a fake magic one.
Totally. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on The Night Circus. It was like just a little bit less good than the first time to me. But
you and me have talked loads about how rating stuff on a 5-star scale, especially books, isn't the best way to do it. And the only reason that I kind of like asking it, though, is because we do talk about, we like give like a flushed out opinion around that. Like, what does 4 stars mean in this context? So mm-hmm. I think it's kind of useful maybe to ask, how many stars did you give it the first time that you read it? And what kind of are you feeling about it now?
Mm. Well, the first time I think I gave it like a 4.5 kind of vibe. Like uh-huh. it wasn't like 5 out of 5, but it was like very close. Like I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah. And now I think it's more of like a 3.5.
Oh my God. That's way low. Whoa. That's yeah. lower than I was feeling that you were saying. Okay.
Yeah. Like after reading it, I was like by when I was starting to get close to the end, I was just like, okay, I just want this to be over now. And that's never a good sign when I'm like excited for it to end.
Yeah.
And so when I started to feel that, I was like, oh, I don't think I love this book anymore. Like I still liked it.
Yes.
I liked it a decent amount, but I wouldn't put it up there like on my favorites list or anything like that anymore, even though I may have in the past. Another thing is when I was a teenager, I was really into circus books. Like that was a vibe that I really liked.
Yeah.
And now I think I just am neutral to circus mm-hmm. books, whereas mm-hmm. before I was like, I loved that as a setting.
Okay.
So I think that could be part of it as well. I'm just like, whatever, who cares? Which is a little unfortunate, but yeah. That's how, you know, when you grow up, you change sometimes. Your
it's
opinions
true.
Become different. And this is a very obvious point of that happening, I think.
And have you read A Starless Sea?
No, I started reading it and did not like it at all. Like, did not like it at all. So I quit that one about 50 pages in.
Okay, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, well, I had a very different situation than you.
I love that.
I liked it more this time than I did last time. So here's the thing, right? I don't exactly remember how... It's okay. I often think about, there's this one interesting experience that you were there for, kind of, that has happened to me. And it was me realizing that I maybe don't remember my opinions about books many, many years later. And what I mean by that is I thought I hated Perks of Being a Wallflower, and then I read it and I loved it. And I was like, wait. What? So basically, here's what happened. I read the book when I was like, I mean, Perks. I read Perks of Being a Wallflower when I was like, I don't know, we were like 18 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I didn't like it. I don't remember.
You're allowed to not like it.
I don't remember not liking it, though. Like, I think I remember having some problems with it. I think it was just too sad. But whatever, I was like not a big fan. Then many years later, the movie came out. Mm-hmm. And I loved the movie. Then many years later, if you would have asked me, what do you think about Perks of Being a Wallflower? I would have said to you, oh, yeah, it's a beautiful story. So I forgot that I didn't like it. Do you know what I mean? Like my own trajectory of my own memory of and like opinions on these books kind of change. And like that makes so much sense because obviously we read a lot. And so it's going to get a little confuddled in with like, oh, what book was that again? But also it's just like, I feel like the reasons that you like books have almost nothing. That's not true, but have like only some of it has to do with the actual book. So much more of it has to do with where you're at in your life, the books you've been reading lately, the moment in your life that you're at. So all of these things can impact how you remember books. So anyways, all of that to say, I remember liking The Night Circus, but I didn't remember loving The Night Circus. And I don't think but I might have. This is why I'm doing this big caveat. I'm like, you know what?
We just
you
don't
might
know.
You might find my Goodreads review from 10 years ago, and my Goodreads review might be glowing, right? It might be. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe I should look it up. Let's see. Do you remember we did this for one of the books? I forget what it was.
It's really funny.
But we'd found my review of it, and I think it was for Perks. And I was just like, oh, what a piece of garbage. But anyways, while I look that up, I remembered liking The Night Circus, but not thinking it was like absolutely incredible, just thinking that the atmosphere was amazing, like thinking that the sense of world was actually quite stunning. I reread it this time, and like I said, exactly the opposite of you, I actually found the plot so much more compelling this time.
Oh, really?
I love that. Okay, here's my review. I don't know when it's from, because at some point I reset my Goodreads, but, you know, this was a long time ago. 4 stars. Loved this. It was mysterious and had an amazing ambiance. The characters were all interesting, and I really enjoyed the way that we followed a bunch of different characters through a bunch of different timelines. I had some problems with it. I felt that some things, like the quote-unquote challenge, were poorly explained. I felt that some things, such as certain elements in the circus, were overly described, and I also felt that the story dragged on a bit, and I wish there had been more plot. Also, and this may be lame, I wish that there would have been more romance. Oh, that's funny.
That's 17. The romance was my least favorite part of the book this
that's
time around.
17-year-old me that's like, more love, maybe? I don't know.
I just need a little more love.
Overall, though, it was really unique and an enjoyable read. It feels sort of like you agree with my old review more than I agree with it. Because now, upon reading it, I really remembered that I loved the ambiance, but that the plot wasn't very compelling. But this time, I was super into the plot. I was like, it's a slow burn. It's definitely a slow burn.
I think that's part of it. I'm more of a, I like it when plots kind of move along at a quick clip.
A bit more fast-paced.
That's kind of my vibe now. I like fast-paced.
Yeah.
I'm not into slow pace for the most part.
For some reason, it really worked with me this time. I actually was very compelled by the characters. I could feel that Aaron Morgenstern had like really worked on the idea. Do you know what I mean? Like, she had like maps.
she had
character trees and stuff. I was like, this is interestingly thought out, and I can tell that she put so much care and thought into the world. I really liked a lot of the different timelines.
The timelines are also something that kind of confused me while I'm reading it. Like, I just kind of would forget what year it was.
Yes.
Even though it mentions it all the time, I would just be like, I don't know what year it is.
I completely
have to accept that I don't know where I am right now.
I agree.
And sometimes it would kind of throw me off.
Liked was, like, following different characters. I wouldn't have needed it for to be in different time periods, but just, like, different character lines. I was like, okay, now we're reading about Bailey. Okay, now we're reading about whoever. But I was like, this is fun to follow different characters. I wish that maybe the timeline should have been like farther apart, because there sometimes
it's just like a couple of
four years
right?
apart.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this is not, and especially like you said, I didn't mention, but I also ended up listening to the audiobook.
Oh yeah.
And
Jim Dale
that added some fun to it. I think it was also a good way to revisit a reread, because it's kind of different when someone's reading it to you.
Exactly.
So that was fun. But when he would say the date at the beginning of the chapter, there's no way I would remember it 30 minutes later, right? Yeah, so I had a good time reading it. And also, the final thing I wanted to mention before we jump into spoilery stuff was, it did put me in a very fall winter mood. It was sort of annoying that it was hot outside. I was
it was a weird time to be reading it, for sure.
Yeah, because in the book everyone's like wearing scarves and coats and cloaks, and I'm just like, yeah, I want to put on a scarf, and then I'm like boiling. I'm like, okay, maybe not.
I simply can't do that. I guess I have one question for you before we dive into the spoilers then, too.
Yeah.
Will you read The Starless Sea? Like, are you intrigued enough by that book?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was kind
of
why I
asked
you.
Your love of Aaron Morgenstern.
It made me want to read The Starless Sea.
Nice.
Which, I was super excited about it when it came out, like, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I got it, and I read the first few pages of it, and I was like, oh, this is so murky. It just felt murky to me. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, it just felt like there's so many words.
it's a lot. It's like similarly to the Night Circus, where it's like she had a lot of ideas and she really had it all figured out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I think it's on the same scale as the Night Circus, where it's like she created this big thing and just throws you into it, and you kind of have to like muddle your way through it and figure out what's going on.
So when I first tried reading on it, I totally gave up on it. I was like, no, I'm not into it. I don't really care. But this has made me maybe want to revisit it.
Yeah, I feel like based on what you said about the Night Circus, I think you'll actually really like it, probably.
Because there's people who love that book.
It suffers from the same things. Yeah.
There are people who like really love that book. Which I find really interesting. Mm-hmm. Also, I just had a really cool moment, you guys, where my mouse moved from my one laptop to my other laptop, and I'd forgotten that I'd set that up months ago, and it felt like magic. I was like, maybe the Night Circus is real. Okay, well, yes, this is your warning. If you don't want to get anything spoiled, click away now. We're going to be jumping into these thoughts from our listeners, and we don't listen to them in advance because we want to react live, but therefore we don't know how spoilery it is. So click away. Our first clip comes from Katie. Katie says, I can't tell you how much I love the podcast. Whenever I listen to an episode, it just feels like I get to hang out with my friends. That's really nice. Just so you know, we're besties in my head. Sorry, my clip is 35 seconds. That's okay. Somebody else sent in like a 1.5 minute one and they were like, didn't even notice. I just kept talking. I'm like, okay. It was so hard to make my thoughts succinct. Thank you both for the time and dedication you put it. Well, this is just, I feel a little shy reading that. Very nice. Aww. Thank you so much, Katie. All right, let's see.
Hi, Ariel, Raylene. My name is Katie and I'm from Iowa. And I have not finished the book yet, but I did want to give my first thoughts because I have not read any Erin Morgenstern before. And I love the way she writes, just giving you little tidbits to kind of string you along almost and make you keep reading the book because it's so fascinating. But she doesn't quite give you all of the story. She just gives you bits and pieces here and there and you keep going because you just have to figure out what it is. I just am loving it so much. Thanks for getting me to read one of my mashed potato books.
Oh my God. Amazing. Amazing. Tackling a mashed potato book. I mean, that's what the podcast's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So our pal Katie there, our besties, mentioned the kind of the writing style of the book, which I think obviously in almost every book, the writing style is going to be a huge part of it. But I think that in some books more than others, it's a bigger deal. Like some authors are just there to tell a plot and the writing is just sort of like there to get the story across. Yeah, but then some writers are obviously leaning into that writing and trying to make it poetic and trying to do something a little bit different with it. And I think Erin Morgenstern falls into the second camp. How did you feel about her writing?
I didn't really notice it, to be honest. Okay. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but I was just listening to the audiobook and kind of just absorbing it, you know?
Yeah,
that's the way I like to think about my experience with reading this book the second time around. I wasn't like, because I already knew kind of what was going to happen and stuff, so I wasn't like super tuned in necessarily. I was kind of just like, I was just along for the ride. So I do feel like, though, since, like you mentioned, she does kind of fall into that second category of writers that are trying to make the writing beautiful, and I just don't really care about that when I'm reading. I'm more like in the first vehicle where it's like I just want to like read the plot, get through
car
the cool story.
In
the first car. I don't really care about the writing being beautiful. I just like to read a good story, so I was kind of indifferent to. I feel like Erin Morgenstern's wasn't too over the top though either.
No,
so
I
she's
agree.
Somewhere kind of in the middle.
I agree.
So I didn't mind it. I find like a book like Lolita is just like, whoa, really, really flowery writing. I hated that. Whoa. So yeah, luckily Erin Morgenstern wasn't quite that dramatic. It was just a nice happy medium. So
I wonder, I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'm sure I'm missing, there's like this gap, this obvious thing, but I wonder if that's the biggest difference between you and me, like our reading taste.
It's definitely one of them, I think.
It's definitely one of them. I'm sure there might be something else, but often like we kind of joke about how I like a book where nothing happens, or like there's meandering, it's just a woman thinking.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's so boring, like I want a plot. And I'm just like, plots are fun, but I'm just like, obviously we're like have slightly different like if it's a spectrum, more like a scale, we're like slightly on different ends of it.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting. Okay, this next person, Kirsten, sent in an email, but I'm afraid, Kirsten, that either there was no voice clip or you forgot to attach it. So I'll just read your email. It says, hi, this is Kirsten from Minneapolis, and I just finished reading The Night Circus for the second time. First time I read it was several years ago, and I absolutely love this book. It's so beautifully descriptive without going overboard and making me want to skip pages. I just love it. One of my favorites. I think this book is magic. Thanks for doing this. I do feel like it is a very magical book. And in a lot of, like, obviously that's kind of goes without saying because it's sort of a battle of these two magicians and they're illusionists and they're more Like, they have actual magic as opposed to they're just doing tricks. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes without saying, but there's so much. It feels really rich. It feels really, mm-hmm. like, luxurious. It feels, like, really buttery. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, a yeah. rich, rich French toast. Mm, I love French toast. It does feel very magical. It does have, like, such a thick ambiance. It's a very beautiful book. All right. Miriam says...
Hi, Ariel and Raylene. This is Miriam from New Brunswick. And man, did I love this book. It is immersive and so magical and so easy to read. I read the last half in different sittings of one day. I loved it so much. And I love the podcast. Thanks for doing this, guys.
Miriam in New Brunswick. Ow, ow! I am really curious about New Brunswick. It's a foresty province, and I wonder what's going on over there. People aren't talking about New Brunswick enough.
No, I have no idea what's going on over there.
It seems like people are just loving it, Raylene. People are enjoying the book, and it does seem like it's a reread for quite a few people as well, which is cool. Okay, our next email comes in from Emily. Hello, Ariel and Raylene. I'm a listener from Ohio, and this is my first time participating in one of the book clubs. I don't have time to say it, but this was a reread for me, and I couldn't remember what I didn't like about it the first time, but I was excited to give it a second try in the interest of podcast participation. Suffice it to say, now that I've refreshed my memory, I can understand why I gave my copy of this book away after the first time I read it. Wow, this is very compelling. Oh, yeah. I still enjoyed participating in the book club, though, so that made it all worth it. Okay, this is very interesting. I'm excited to hear what she says.
Hi, this is Emily. I want to talk about the ending. We can see throughout the book the negative effects of how something so outwardly beautiful can become something twisted. The book stresses that seeking immortality is detrimental, but in the end, the characters maintain the circus anyway. It's supposed to be a happy ending, but I can't see it that way. It's implied that the circus performers were unaware of their immortality and that it's deceitful to tie them to the circus without their knowledge. But no one asks them if they want to go on doing it when the circus changes hands in the end. I would love to know what you think about this.
Emily also says, thank you for creating such an awesome podcast. It's my favorite thing to listen to while I make dinner at night, and it motivates me to read more, which always makes me so happy. Today, I finished my 33rd book of the year, Delegates, which surpassed the 32 books I read in 2021 and the 32 books I read in 2022. I think that it might be the year I surpass my all-time record of 42 books in 2016. I think you will do it. Emily, because there's still 4 months left. Is that right? September, October?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can count. 4 months left. That's really, really fun. Thank you for your clip. And I think this is a really interesting question, actually, because...
It made me think of something.
Yeah, go ahead. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so as you may remember, a couple of years ago when we were doing Forks Farm and reading the Twilight books, I grew kind of a deep hatred for Carlyle, and I thought he was a very bad person because of this exact thing. Right. Forcing people to be immortal without really giving them a choice. Right. Until it's too late, you know what I mean? Like, they can't go back. They're stuck with it now. And I think that that is evil and immoral, and I hate it. So I agree that it's very uncool and should not have been done in this circumstance either.
Super, super unchill.
Yeah, very unchill.
I think it's very interesting. Like, obviously there's the one character, and I forget her name. Tara? No, the other one. But the one that passes away. And we get the feeling that she died by suicide. And she was kind of having this feeling of feeling trapped. Right? Mm-hmm. She was like the one that was really probing everyone. She was like, do you feel like we're aging? Like, do you feel like some fish is going on? Because I feel like something bigger than what we signed up for is happening. Mm. And the other guy just kind of gives a cryptic answer of like, yeah, I think we didn't know what we were signing up for. And it's like, okay, but how do we get off this ride? You know? So we do have a character who's kind of exploring exactly what Emily is saying. There is a character who's very explicitly like, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to be immortal or whatever I am. Mm-hmm. But I guess it doesn't bother me. I get partly because it's a book. It's not like we're going to torture real people. But like, it partly doesn't bother me because I feel like that kind of is one of the points of the book. Like, in the book, there are lots of different characters who are trapped. I feel like that's a big theme of it. Like, entrapment, like, you are stuck. So you've got the kids, obviously, when they first get adopted, they don't get to, like, pick this. They're just stuck being told what to do. And then you have, like, Bailey. He's trapped. He feels trapped in his life at the farm. Then you've got these, like, circus tricks, like this beautiful magic, but this magic is stuck in these tents. And I feel like everything is about being stuck. It's I feel like that's a really interesting theme, and it's sort of about, like, it's like you're... I'm trying to remember. There's a quote, like, right near the end of the book where it's sort of like they... Cecilia and Marco, which, by the way, I don't, no offense to the name Marco, it's a chill name, but I sort of feel like it was so out of the blue that of all the names he could have chosen, he chose Marco.
Yeah.
I was just like, how'd you find that name? That's very confusing to me. But yeah, it's sort of like, Celia and Marco, it's like they're trapped there. They kind of are in the, they're in the air of it, but they're like, we're trapped, but we're not really trapped. I'm like, you're trapped.
Pretty much.
You're stuck there.
Circus falls apart without them, so.
Yeah, so it's sort of like.
Have to.
When you're, is it stuck? Are you stuck if you like the people that you're stuck with? Are you stuck if you are creating the environment? If it's always changing? If it feels like home to you? These are great questions. They're great questions. And I guess I do think that Erin Morgenstern is asking those questions. Like, I don't think that she, do you know what I mean? I don't think that she's like, this is a loophole. They don't feel stuck anymore. No, I think part of it is that these people are stuck and it's beautiful, but is that good? Like, is this a positive or a negative? I'm not really sure. That's a cool question. Thank you, Emily. All right, next up we have Michaela. Sending good vibes from Florida.
Hi from Florida, Ariel. I'm Raylene. I love the podcast so, so much, and I really appreciate all the hard work that you guys put into it. I want to know your thoughts on how the Night Circus would be as a movie. I feel like it would be so interesting with the magic, the romance, and also very aesthetically pleasing, honestly, especially with the black and white color scheme of the circus itself, as well as seeing how the magic would come to life on the screen. Thanks, guys.
That's a really fun question, because I did imagine some of the scenes as movie, like, as filmed.
It's a very cinematic book, I would say. Like, it's the type of... I mean, that, like, it is aesthetically pleasing. Like, there's so much about it that is beautiful and would be very gorgeous on a big screen. Just, like, visually, like, the sets, the costumes, but also the magic, I think, would be really cool. Especially being able to kind of see, like, is that an illusion or is that real magic? Like, trying to see, like, how they kind of show that on the screen would be really interesting, I think. Like, trying to hide that it's real magic, or does it kind of seep through? I don't know. I think that would be kind of cool. And I think that this is the type of book, too, that would make a good movie for someone like me who found it to be a little bit slow and kind of not plotless, but I just didn't think the plot was, like, moving along very quickly. I feel like on the big screen, things always move more quickly because it's only a 2-hour medium.
Yes.
So I feel like I would like it more as a movie than as a book, potentially.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that they would have to do right for that to happen. You know, I feel like there's a lot about this book that bringing it to the big screen could just fall apart and could not be good. But if they did it right, I think it would be a very good movie.
I could imagine it being really cheesy. Exactly. They didn't do it right. I think you're totally right. Like, I think if they don't have a really big budget so that the CGI is, like, super well done and the acting is, like, actually very good actors, like, if you don't have the money to do it right, I kind of am like, don't do it at all, because I can so imagine it being a cringe.
Yeah. like a teen fantasy show.
I also do think, personally, that it would be a better miniseries, because even though I totally get what you're saying, where, like, maybe truncating it, like, making it a bit shorter would be better, I still think, like, a 4-episode show
Yeah, something like that. Like six episodes or something.
Yeah, like a four or six episode show. Yeah. A shorter show, not like a 24 episode season or something. No, no. Mm-hmm. Like a shorter 4 to 6 episode miniseries would really allow these characters to get fleshed out. Like, I can imagine Bailey and Poppet and Widget having like a whole episode. And
that's true.
Maybe a whole episode about the Reverse and the Clockmaker. And like, I love how in the book you do get to spend time with these different branches and seeing how the circus is affecting different people. And so I think it would be really cool to have that in the show, because also like I'm imagining like the first episode would be when Celia and Marco are kids.
I was just thinking like each episode would be a different year in my head.
Yes,
I think that would be really cool, because it would make it easier to understand the timeline if follow. It was kind of laid out like
definitely
that,
I totally agree. So if you have one episode where they're kids and then one episode where the circus is like starting up and like everyone is you know, when they're first having the idea of it and building it and it's starting, an episode with Bailey, an episode with the Clockmaker and the Reverse, and like that whole scene, we're already at four episodes. And then so I feel like four or six episodes would be really fun to get to go deep and like really explore it. But I think you're right with some of the I was just thinking, we recorded our episode with Colleen and we were talking about how I can definitely read horror more than I can watch horror, because when I watch it, I like physically sometimes can't look. It's too, I don't want that image in my head. Whereas when I read it, it's like blurred. I can't really fully see it. I'm just sort of, it's like more transient. So that is a good thing when it comes to horror. I think with these magical tents, it's sort of a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm sort of imagining like a cloud maze, but I'm like, I don't really get it. Whereas I think that if it was on screen, they could do it in a really beautiful way.
Exactly.
The only reason that I have against this is that I've never seen a circus movie or show that I like. I don't like circus settings.
Yeah,
I find it really stressful and really scary. Like, I find it creepy in a way that chills me. There's something disturbing about circuses to me. I'm not even talking about, like, you know, animal abuse, but that is part of it. There's just something like creepy that I don't trust. I don't trust circuses, you know, like if I see circus related stuff, I'm like, I don't know. There's something spooky about that. And that is always for me was a reason I didn't want to read The Night Circus. But when I read it, this is like the richest, most luxurious, non-abusive, non-like taking advantage of people. Yeah. It's not a normal circus. It's not like, it's more like a family of magicians, like doing magic together and loving and supporting each other, as opposed to like American Horror Story version of a circus where I'm just like scared my whole time. Oh man. All right. Thank you, Michaela. This next clip is from Bethany. She's the one who said, I totally forgot to make this 30 seconds long. So if it's too long for the show, I totally understand. Love you guys. And thanks for a great book community.
Hi, my name is Bethany. So I finished listening to the book. I did audiobook for it a couple of days ago, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was not expecting the ending, how it ended. I was thinking that maybe with the two people in the challenge, that when their whole thing ended, and that was going to be like where the book finished. But I was glad to that there was more afterwards, and then we got more like answers to some questions and resolved the other like loose ends. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I think though that if I was maybe like a teenager, like 15, like late teenager, 15, 16 or 17, if I had read it then, I would like it even more. But I still really like it. But I think that would have been a sweet spot for me. I would have been like, wow, best book ever. I'm kind of excited. I have a 5-year-old and I hope that he will like to learn, I mean, to read when he gets older. And I want to, this is one of the books that I'm going to want him to read when he's like, 14, 15. I think he'd like it. I love the podcast, Dust Jacket. I'm loving Movie Tub. Love the name. I think it's fantastic. And Raylene, I love your TikToks. All right, thank you. Bye.
I like that you said that and laughed.
She's like, because like I have like four TikToks and they're not good.
Oh, that was a really cute message. We're keeping it in, even though it was long, just for so because somebody supports the movie tub, and that's what I care about.
We have proof.
Yeah, the ending again. I'm glad that it went a little bit farther than kind of the circus dissolving when Celia and Marco, I can't say died, like whatever, dissolved.
When they expired.
Do you think that what if there was a movie version, it would be like what happens to Voldemort?
I was just thinking that. They would just start flaking away. Except they'd probably turn into petals and it would like be more
something beautiful.
It would be something very, very beautiful for sure.
God, that's such a huge question. This, I mean, Bethany did not ask this question, but like the idea of what are the books you hand over to your kid is such an interesting question to me. And Bethany said she thinks her son would like this book. And I'm like, that's so interesting. Like, it's a 5-year-old. So I'm like, what has he done that you think he would like this? Like, is he really into magic? Is he really? Well, what? Probably. That's so cool. That's interesting. Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that she said she would have liked it more if she had read it when she was younger. Because that's exactly how I feel. I feel like when I first read it, it was the sweet spot, that perfect time. It was like everything that I wanted in a book, and it was perfect. And now that I'm a little bit older, I'm like, I'm past that.
That's so interesting. I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like I enjoyed it more and appreciated it more as an older reader. Mm-hmm. Than I did when I was a teenager. You see, this is what is exactly what we're saying, Raylene.
We're different people.
Well, that, but I meant more like it so depends how old you are when you read a book or like what your life
what
situation,
mood you're in.
What
like,
mood you're in. There's so many factors. Okay, this next voice clip comes from Sarah. Hello, ladies. Attaches my voice note for the July book club. With love and wildflowers. And this is really, really cool because I can always see the name of the file that people send that they attach to the email. And this one, I've never seen anyone name it something cool before. But Sarah named it Reverse Only. That's cool.
That's spooky. I like it.
Hello, Ariel and Raylene. My name is Sarah, and I read The Night Circus for the first time for your book club, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very atmospheric, very warm, and very cozy. Even though the colour was quite grey and black and white throughout, I definitely felt more of the red and the fire, and I thought it had a lovely ambiance. I did think it was a little bit long, but I did get a slight feeling like when reading Harry Potter and you know, like the in-between scenes, it's not the plot, it's not the action, it's not the fighting or anything, but it's just like those in-between scenes where they're in Hogsmeade or Hogsmeade and it's like really just nice. I did get that feeling from this book too. I didn't really follow along well with the timeline, and I didn't follow along in the beginning very good with the character names, like them having different names. Like some characters had like nicknames, I guess, or double names. And so initially, I just got a little bit lost. But I have two questions for you, if I may be so bold. The first one is if you could get Frederick, to make you a clock, what would you ask him to make you? And the second question is, if you were to follow something like the, is it the Reviers? I'm probably butchering the pronunciation. But if you were to be, I guess, a Revier for something, I guess like a follower of something, what would it be? Like if money was no object and you could travel around the world with a red scarf, what would you be or who would you be following? Yeah, thanks so much for your time. And just in case you're wondering, because I feel like you always pick up on accents, mine is, I'm from the northeast of England, but I'm currently living in Sydney, Australia. Oh, lots of love. Thanks.
She's got a bit of an Australian accent for sure.
I can sense the Australia in there, right?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking that. It's funny that she said that because I was thinking the entire time, what exactly is your accent? Because it sounded Australian, but not completely.
That's so awesome. I'm glad you mentioned it, Sarah, because we were thinking it. We love accents. So many great thoughts and so many great questions. I guess we'll stick to the questions, and she helpfully wrote them down on the email as well. So question one was, if you could have Fredrik Eir Thiessen make you any clock, what design or theme would you ask him to make?
Oh my gosh, that's such a big question.
It's a really cool question.
It is a cool question, and I'm sure if I thought about it at length, I would have a different answer. But right now, I think I want like a Stardew Valley clock.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the design would be exactly, but just like very like calm and cute and farmy looking.
Yeah.
I just think that would be nice. Some nice colors, maybe. Some pastels. But yeah, I'm sure if I thought about it, I'd have a much better answer.
I actually am looking for a clock right now, and it's harder to find a good quality, beautiful clock than you'd think. Like, it's really easy to find a cheap clock. Like, if you go to, like, IKEA or Walmart or whatever, there's lots of clocks around. But, like, a finely made, beautiful clock that is not $500, I'm finding it very difficult to find elusive clock. I just want a cool clock to put in my dining room. Because I'm, like, going to build, like, a gallery wall. And I definitely need a clock in there. So I was like, oh, cool. I'll just, like, find a cool clock. No. this is not simple. If I could have him make me any clock, what design or theme? I mean, I guess generally it would be cool to have like a book themed clock, like maybe little pages flipping or little book stacking or like something like that. I think would be very beautiful. I would not want an Animal Farm clock. I would definitely not want an Animal Farm clock. I think that would be horrific. I think I would hate that.
Yeah, that would be ugly.
Maybe a clock that has something to do with miniatures, like a mini, I don't know, that could be
interesting. I'm imagining it would have like little mechanics of some kind, like within the clock.
Yeah, same. Cool. Same. Cute. The clocks that I've been looking at lately, though, are mid-century modern sunburst clocks. If anybody wants to look those up, they're very beautiful clocks, and something a la that would be very cool. Nice. Sunburst clock. Yeah, anyways. The second question she asked was, if money was no object, what would you be a river for? What kind of thing would you travel around the world supporting? And in brackets, and what color scarf would they wear?
Ooh, I forgot to think about that question while you were talking about the clock. What would I follow?
I mean, one thing that people do follow, obviously, is sport. I don't think there's any sport that I would necessarily... Mm-mm. I do think it would be... Me and CJ, my brother, were talking about, like, it would be fun for a year to, like, go around and watch tennis everywhere. I just feel like that would be fun to do. But I'm not, like... I'm not... That's not, like, a dream of mine. And then another thing that people do is go around supporting bands. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty common. I have a friend who has her favorite band is The Killers.
Oh, yeah.
And she's literally gone to, like, 100 shows.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
She will follow them around Europe and go to, like, you know, 12 shows in a month.
That's
and I'm just
wild.
Like, that is so wild. Yeah, that's cool.
Really,
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a specific thing or like person or whatever that I would follow. I would more be like chasing a lifestyle. Like I would be like, can I just go live in a mountain? Whoa, my cat is being crazy again. I would want to just like go live in a cabin in the woods and then maybe go back home for a while and then go find another cabin in the woods, but like all across the world maybe. Like that would be what I would want to follow, would just
that's
be like
very
that cool.
cool
lifestyle, like
yes.
where I'm kind of relaxing but on vacation and just kind of living the way I want to live, I guess. Because I don't think there was any specific type of thing that I would actually want to follow around. I think I would get tired of it after a while, you know? Like even if I was following my favorite band, I'd be like, okay, I'm all done now.
I've heard the
take
songs.
Me home. Yeah, like I think that would just get old for me personally, but being able to just like live in beautiful places, I think, would be really cool.
Mm,
and my scarf would be I don't know, brown.
To match the logs of the cabins I'd be staying in.
That's perfect. This is a great question, and I'm also kind of blanking on it. I guess, is it like bookstores? I've always wanted to go around and just like see like the most luxurious, famous, interesting, charming bookstores of the world. And there's definitely places that have incredible bookstores, but there's nothing else there that I really care about. So I'm sort of like, I don't know if I would fly to some random small city in Portugal just to go to that bookstore, but it means that I probably will never go. So if money was no object, it would be pretty cool to just like do a big bookshop like world tour.
Totally.
I would definitely love that. Thanks for those questions, Sarah. Those were really fun. Our last clip comes from Lizelle. Lizelle says, "Hi, Ariel and Raylene. This is Lizelle from South Africa. I've been listening to Books Unbound a long time, but this is the first time I've taken part in the book club. It was a lot of fun, and I would definitely like to do it again, and I look forward to hearing everyone's opinions on the book."
Hi there. This is Lizelle from South Africa. This was my first time taking part in the book club, and I really enjoyed it. I would give The Night Circus by Erin Morgenstern a rating of 4 stars. I really enjoyed the writing and all the different parts of the story, but I just didn't find the ending satisfying. Here's a question. Which circus attraction did you find the most intriguing? Personally, I would pick Widget's Memory Tent. Looking forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on the book. Thank you so much for hosting the book club and the podcast. Until next time, bye.
South African accents are incredible.
Very cool.
There's something in an, like, just so special. I never hear any accents like that. That's so cool. Thank you, Lizelle, for that question, because it's a classic question. I feel like that is a classic question. Like, of the tents and of the different things you've read about, is there one you'd most want to visit? And I think Lizelle said Widget's tent. I think Widget might have had multiple tents. The one I'm remembering is the smell jars. Like, you open a jar and it has the smell of a place and it like really transports you there. Let me think. I do think it would be very cool to just go to Celia's tent, to just watch Celia like being an illusionist. That sounds great. I think watching Widget and Poppet with the kittens sounds fun.
Yeah, like that's also pretty incredible.
I do love kittens. Is there one that stands out to you?
Not really. Like, I'm struggling to remember the different tents as well now.
Yeah.
Although there was the contortionist, which I also really love that kind of stuff. So I feel like maybe that's what I would pick. Tsukiko, I think her name was. Yes. I really like watching like Cirque du Soleil and like gymnastics and stuff like that. That's one of my favorite things to watch. So I think I would pick that.
Yeah, too. You're totally
I'd probably
right.
hang out there a lot.
The Tsukiko one, that character was really interesting because I did not remember her from the time I read the book. And the fact
but
that
she's pretty important.
Big spoilers. The fact that she was like a champion from last time, like a Triwizard champion.
I know. It kind of feels like Hunger Games-y almost, where it's like was the tribute that survived.
Yes, that's such a good analog. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, that's really interesting. I'm also not remembering any of the other tents.
Right, I'm sure there were some, like, special ones that were, like, very unique to this circus, but I can't think of what they are.
Oh, there was the one where you, like, light the candle, make a wish. Was there one with paper cranes flying everywhere?
Oh, I think maybe. No, that sounds like something that I read feel like somewhere.
you can tell we really read the hell out of this book.
It's also been a few weeks since I finished it, to be fair. So
that's like, true as
it's
well,
not
actually.
Fresh. It's not
fresh. Totally. Well, thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us and talking about the Night Circus. It's really lovely when we do these episodes to hear your thoughts. Obviously, we like read your comments in other places, but it's really it feels really special to be able to actually hear your voices and hear what you have to say about the different books. So thanks so much to everyone, and that's it for this episode. We'll talk to you guys in our next episode. I was gonna tell you what it is, but I have no idea.
We don't know.
We don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, talk to you guys next time. Bye.